Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. Hello, babe faces. It's me. Happy, happy Friday. I hope you guys had a wonderful week, and I hope that you are looking forward to a easy Friday at work, if you have work, a relaxing weekend, hopefully a soul-filling weekend. I wanted to pop on here before my intro of our delightful guest today to let you know, one, I will be in Utah next week for Young Living's convention, which is going to be dope as hell. I do know a sneak peek of a couple of the products that are coming out, but I'm not telling you anything except that they are so in line with woo-woo plant magic, herbalism, woo-woo bestie vibes. So stay tuned on my stories on woowoobestie_Susie on Instagram to stay in the know of everything that's dropping and just to stay in the loop with my travels and my adventures there. I've never been that far out west. They're telling me that I need to be careful of elevation sickness. I've never experienced dry heat, which I think will be a break compared to my humid heat, and there will be three different events that I will be getting dressed up for: a 90s event, a 20s event, and a gala where I will be wearing a beautiful outfit I have not worn since the night before my wedding. So with all of that said, there will not be a podcast episode next week, but we should be resuming the following week, and it should be a very highly anticipated, personally, episode that you guys will love. But today we have another really dope episode, especially because this past week, or like the last week and a half, I did a mini series on my Instagram of crystals for beginners. And so I thought, what better way to introduce beginners to crystals than to have Rachel James on the pod? Rachel James is the owner of Wild Alabaster, which is a fair trade, small collection, curated, high vibrational boutique. You might have heard me recommend Wild Alabaster in my DMs or in my stories when I'm asked where to find quality crystals. And that's because Rachel is so intentional with where she is sourcing her crystals from and who she is sourcing them from and the fair treatment of all humans involved in the process, from mining the crystals to when they land in her store and when they land in our hands. In this conversation, Rachel and I talk about the beauty of living and working in alignment with your passion and purpose, the intelligence of crystals, as well as the science debunking, as well as the science of crystals, and then debunking the discomfort around talking about money. We talk about Christianity and crystals, her home births, and so much more. She is grounded and she is hilarious and she is inspiring and she is expansive. And I have a feeling that you're going to get sucked right into her wisdom and her humor and her candor. I highly recommend you check her out on Instagram and on her website, both linked in the show notes, and peruse some of her beautiful crystals and tools. But I can't wait for you guys to hear this, and I can't wait to hear what you think of this episode. Have fun, and I will see you in 2 weeks, my babes. just like get all of my notes from my friend Jeanette. So I don't know that much.
So funny because I don't know astrology either. And everybody thinks that I do. They're like, oh, you're a crystal bitch. And I'm like, no.
Okay. So from what I know from the stalking I've done of you, Aquarius.
I think that I have something in Aquarius. I don't know what it is actually. So I was born in the United States Virgin Islands on May 21st at 12:12 midnight, which makes me a Taurus. Aquarius rising.
I'm so proud of myself because your rising sign is what I interpret as how you present to people that don't really know you yet. So like your first impression.
Aquarius rising. Our motivation for loving and living life.
And like Aquarians are my favorite because they are the innovators and they are the ones that go outside the box from what I understand and kind of are just like the visionaries of the zodiac. And I started getting that from you when I was reading your story of getting into crystals and then just deciding to start this business and then being very intentional as well with your sourcing and all of that stuff. But anyway, I'm proud of myself. So very quickly.
Proud of you too. Literally so proud. And impressed, like wildly impressed.
I don't know about you. I'm on my period. And when I'm on my period, I always have to pee a lot more than usual.
Yeah, well, I mean, because your uterus is like so swollen that, you know, it turns into the size of a baby watermelon. So it's kind of like when you're pregnant, you have to pee all the time. You're not drinking more water. You just have less space and it's pushing against your bladder.
My uterus grows when I'm on my period?
Yeah. It fills with blood to the size it goes from, like a cantaloupe size. It goes from this little tiny thing to the size of a cantaloupe.
I feel so embarrassed. And this is a really good learning moment for me because, and we'll get into this later, you were home birthed. You had home births. I wanted a home birth. And I look around and because I wanted a home birth, I did so much research into my own body and what was happening. And I was very intentional with like tracking my cycle when I was consciously conceiving my son. And I look around to all of my other friends that are pregnant that know nothing about their cycles or about pregnancy or about what happens during the process of birth. And I'm like, it's so upsetting that people don't know so much about their own bodies, but here I am not even knowing that my uterus grows during my period time.
Well, my mother is a home birth midwife and a therapist. And so it's just, you know, dinner time conversation was knowing your body. And whether you wanted it or not, that's what you got.
Before we start getting into crystals, I brought some crystals.
Okay.
Two of them are from you. First of all, I got this. I've known about you for years, since like the middle of my spiritual journey, which years ago. I got this Caribbean calcite. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go through all these really quick and test my own knowledge based on what you know. Okay. Caribbean calcite. Anytime we see a blue ocean looking crystal like this or like Larimar, I always think wisdom, divine feminine energy, go with the flow, and intuition.
Yes.
On point?
100%.
Fuck yeah. I have Unikite. I really like this one for my pregnancy. I had read a couple of places it was really good for fertility and to use during pregnancy. I know that because it has green and pink, both colors associated with the heart chakra, it's really nurturing emotionally. But yeah, so I kept this on my desk recently because I've needed some heart help and compassion.
Yes, it's really good for heart help and compassion. And it also does have a really divine maternal feel to its frequency. And it is like your womb energy. It's really beautiful, especially for pregnancy or even like when you're on your period and things are feeling harder and you're processing things in a different way. And I work mostly in the Enneagram. What is your Enneagram?
Two.
Okay. So twos are the top of the heart and there's like this effervescent kind of light, bubbly feeling. And sometimes, and I don't know where you are in the middle of your sibling groups or that dynamic, that
zero.
Can be zero. Okay, so you're an only child, so that probably plays a lot into your two, like when a two is an only child or a middle child, there is that, like, the helper is way more helpy and trying to prove through acts of service. And in that, there's like a lot of this upper heart stuff and can get trapped in our throat without the like, see me, you just want to perform, see me, feel me, hear me, and it doesn't come out, it just stays right there. And so this like journey from here to here can feel really long, even though it shouldn't.
So use this for that.
Manifest in a little bit of a bitchy tone when it finally does
breakthrough. Oh, for sure. That's also where my Virgo plays in. I love how all of these different like ways of identifying personality.
It's so weird. And then you tie like human design and I'm like,
Oh yeah. I know. And that's, I'm glad that you brought that up, because every time I've gotten Reiki, I always have a block in my throat chakra and I never know why. Anyway, moving on. We have this beautiful fluorite I have on my desk recently. Fluorite is really good for navigating changes and up levels with grace. And I know it's also good for like dreamy stuff. It's really good for focus.
Yes.
And it's study stone.
And it's a good study stone. And it's like a good work vibe stone too, you know.
Almost done. Citrine, love this one. Citrine is my confidence and joy stone.
Mm-hmm. Creativity.
Creativity. This is a solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I got this peach moonstone from you, but I haven't had an opportunity to develop a relationship with it yet. So can you educate me on it?
Why haven't you, I'm just going to start with that. Why haven't you had an opportunity to develop a relationship with it?
Fuck. I got an onslaught of crystals in a very short period of time. So I've been taking my time with each.
And how does it feel to you?
Friendly?
Yeah. It's a really, it is. It kind of, it there's a compassion aspect to it. And it's the compassion that we need mirrored back to ourselves. So that's why I was just wondering how nice you speak to yourself lately.
Oh.
Are you being nice?
Say more about that.
Are you being nice to yourself lately?
No, I'm beating myself up and comparing myself and wondering why I'm not doing as well as I've been doing. I'm like spinning my wheels. Are you a psychic?
No, I'm just like, you know, I just connect energy. And the peach moonstone can represent different things in different people. And that is what my work in crystals is. And you'll often hear me say in Wild Alabaster, I am not the crystal boss of you. Like, I am here to hold the space and to kind of walk alongside you in your journey. But I'm not going to project anything onto it. I am not going to tell you that you need this or you need that. And I'm, you know, like, just asked a couple of questions, and the peach moonstone was really clear to me that it is a mirror to you and holding compassion and self-reflection for yourself. And that's why I asked you, how nice are you being to yourself? And so maybe not so nice. And if you're like maybe in a place where you need to sit here and bang your head against a not nice wall for a little while longer, then the peach moonstone is just going to be one that you're not going to be building a relationship with, because you're not really ready to do that work. And that's also okay.
So from what I'm understanding from you, what I'm actually picking up and reading between the lines, and tell me if I'm wrong, is it's okay that I haven't built a relationship with this stone. And it's okay if even after this conversation, I don't build a relationship with this stone. once I feel called to pull this stone off the shelf and start meditating with it is when I know I'm ready to move out of this beating myself up era.
Exactly. Our nervous system doesn't have the ability to process all of the shit all of the time.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't. And so somewhere in your frequency, when you're buying crystals on the website, you felt called to that. That doesn't mean that that work is the work that's immediately in front of you, because your nervous system can't do that. It can only do the thing that it needs to be doing. That doesn't mean the frequency wasn't floating in there waiting for the time that you're going to, and it might be soon or it might be in a year, and you're going to be like, now's the time where I'm ready to push through this. I'm sinking in. I'm connecting with myself. I want to approach a friendlier place. Like, and it may be just like when you're done having your period and you move into ovulation and you are feeling like superwoman and you are feeling sexy and you are feeling empowered and you don't give a shit about what anybody else is doing because you're like, I've got my blinders on and I'm a bad bitch. And yeah. The feast was so soon to be like, hell yeah, you are.
Now, when it comes to that, and I might be getting too granular, what are your thoughts? Because what I'm hearing from you is very much intuition-based. It will call to you and your energy will be pulled when it's the right time. What are your thoughts on someone maybe like me? I'm moving into ovulation. I have a lot of exciting stuff coming up in my career, which is what I've been beating myself up about. Can I grab this one purposefully as a way to accelerate getting out of this mind space?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it works best in the manifestation principle. So ask, believe, receive. And when we do that work of ask, believe, receive, and especially with where you are in your business, comparison, feeling stuck, not enough, with ask, believe, receive, we have to ask the universe or self or wherever you're putting your, like, connecting to that divine, and that can be anything. You ask very specifically what you want. The biggest thing is believing in it. And for you, yours is going to be believing in yourself, believing in your ability, believing that you are not only capable. And this is going to be a big hurdle for you as a two, but that you're worthy of the things that you are working towards and manifesting, and then receiving it. So spending that time looking at the opportunities, what's there, just because we like ask, believe, the universe sends us everything that we want, because of course it does. Why is it not? Whether we can receive it and we're willing to do the receiving work, that is another thing. And so when you're like, okay, this is the deadline, or this is the jumping off point, or this is when I'm ready, yes, you absolutely can pull in your peach moonstone. And that is a great manifestation. Like, the moonstone in itself is a really good manifester. And then the peach is that soft, feminine mirror version of yourself. So yeah, bring it in. Let's go.
This is a perfect segue, because you told me all of that from one stone. You were talking about one stone that whole time. You clearly know your shit. Obviously, you built a whole business on this. So I would assume that this has been built, this knowledge base has been built over years through resources, through mentors, through your own experiences. So can you walk us through how you got in here? Tell me about your first crystal experience.
So my first crystal experience was when I was a little girl. My mom, you know, I was born in the Caribbean on a small island. She was the midwife. I don't actually know how my mom got crystals, because she is like, she's OG woo-woo. Like, she was the one who was researching all of the things, the principles of which we parent now. But like, through like libraries, like, she was renting books. Like, there was no internet when she was doing research on vaccines and home birth and whatever. And but she's also, you know, she's kind of she grew up in New England and is, you know, she doesn't really look like a hippie. She doesn't smell like a hippie, but she's got this undercurrent of that woo. And she raised us that way. And a lot of it, it didn't seem woo-woo at the time or hippy-dippy. It just seemed like common sense. So we had crystals. Like, she had like massive, oh, she went to school in Tucson, Arizona. That's probably how she got them, which is, has the largest gem show in the entire world. And I go every single year for a week and I buy tens of thousands of pounds worth of crystals. And then distribute them. This last time it 10,000 pounds of crystals lasted like 6 weeks maybe in the shop, and then you guys bought them all. I'm not very good at like holding back. So she had these big crystals in the house, like massive honkers. And I also love pretty things, you know, where I'm like, this is shiny. And, you know, I'm like the little crab in Moana. And it was always kind of in our house. It wasn't really talked about. They weren't center. Like, you know, crystals exist in my house. My kids know what I do for a living. There wasn't that emphasis placed on it growing up. And I had children really young and done, I was done having children by, I had four children by the time I was 24. When you are having children, when your brain is not fully developed, you parent off of instinct, just pure instinct. And back when I was having kids, 2007 through 2011, the internet was not really this thing that it is now. You know, Instagram, I got Instagram in 2012, and it was literally just like you snapped a picture on the app and it had like a couple of weird edits and you posted it because it was Instagram and it was cool. And you know, like you only had friends. And so there wasn't this ability to get all this information like we have now. So I'm this little mom, you know, 23, 24, knowing that I wanted to raise my kids really similar to the way that I was raised. And so I started pulling in from my childhood, and crystals were one of those things. And I've always felt really connected to them. I think I had maybe like a pair of hot paint dyed agate bookends from childhood or something, you know, like we all kind of had those. And I would go into crystal shops and felt like I didn't belong there. Like there was something just not quite, like I wasn't witchy enough, or, you know, because I don't carry any like dark energy with me. And they would look at me and just go, no. And I felt really excluded in that space. But then, you know, I also am like, well, I had babies on my floor and my mom threw a raw chunk of my placenta into my smoothie after birth. Like I'm pretty, like I'm pretty there, you know? So I just felt really disconnected, and I felt like I would bring these crystals into my home and they had this like negative energy associated with them. And that didn't feel right to me either. And people would place like a lot of meaning on them, and that didn't feel aligned. And the last time that I went into somebody else's crystal shop, I went to pick up this rose quartz tower, and the woman slapped my hand, like literally whacked it, left a red mark, and was like, read the signs, you can't touch. And I was like, oh, I just like got hit by a grown up. Like, this is not okay. And I left. And I was like, I'm all done. I'm all done. Fuck it. I'm all done with this. And I learned how to supply on my own. My then husband was a chiropractor, had a retail license, and I learned how to wholesale crystals. But the buy-in is really big. So I went in and I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna do it up here, and bought a bunch of crystals, like thousands of dollars worth. And then I like had the itch and I was like, yeah, this is good. I like the way my house is feeling. I like the way my house is looking. So I like rounded up some girlfriends and I was like, hey, I want to go back and like do this thing. Do you want to like chip it? And I'm like, it's $500. You're committed to $500 worth of rocks. Like, do you want it? And they're like, yeah. And then, you know, the next time they're like, hey, we're all down with $500 buys. So my time stretched out and I would have to like squirrel away a couple grand to go back and buy crystals. And then flash forward to right before the entire world shut down, I was just living my life. And Annie texts me and is like, hey, you're coming to Modern and Wow, which was an event she was putting on. You're coming. And I want you to sell crystals. And I was like, cool, cool. I don't sell crystals, and you know that. And she's like, listen, you do. Like, now you do. And she's like, the stores in Philly are so expensive and they're like bad vibes. Like, just come set up a shop. You're coming anyways. Like, don't be dumb. And I was like, okay, well, yes, that's what I'm gonna do. And literally, I was in a really difficult spot in my marriage. It was not the time to be doing it. But Annie was like, there's no risk. There's only reward. I went, bought a ton of crystals, threw them in the back of my Prius, drove to Philly, set up a booth, and profited $10,000 in 8 hours. And hung out with like my favorite girlfriends in the whole entire world the whole weekend. And I'm driving back from Philly to Charleston, and I'm like on 95 just driving in a straight line, and like my brain is like downloading faster than I could. And the next morning I woke up, rolled over, had a name and a logo. Sent it to Leslie, Annie, Brittany, and Logan. I was like, I think I'm going to start a crystal business, and I think this is what I'm going to call it. And they were like, do it. So I took that profit and reinvested. It was madness. I had no idea what I was doing. I had like a Facebook group, and I would just like load everything, and then people would be like, sold, 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 sold. And then they started like Venmoing me or PayPaling me. It was like, and I did that 3 times. So February, March, April. And April was so bad, so out of control. I had a friend come over, and I am literally like just done is better than perfect. I don't know how to do a spreadsheet. Like, I love her spreadsheet, but like, I don't know how to do that. It's high school. Like, we didn't learn that in homeschool. Like, we went to the Renaissance Fair. So, mom's like, what is a spreadsheet? Like, you know, we'll talk about medieval times, whatever. So, one of my girlfriends was like, she felt real bad for me. And she's like, okay, I'll save you. Comes over, starts refunding people. And she was like, obviously, like, this is working. Meanwhile, it's COVID. Everything is shut down. Like, she's like, are you sick? I'm like, no, I'm not sick. Are you sick? And she's like, no. I'm like, all right, I'll lick your face anyways, but whatever. And so May of 2020, I incorporated, had a website built, had a drop. And it was our first official drop as Wild Alabaster. And I sold $22,000 worth of crystals in 2 minutes. And it was crazy. And I was like, this is a thing. And I love this. And so that was the scale of Wild Alabaster. We did $1.2 million worth of sales from May to May. And it was wild. It was the craziest. It was like the universe was like, guess what, dude? You're a crystal dealer now. And like, sick. This is all I ever wanted in my whole entire life. Like, 5-year-old me would be so stoked. And it's what I do and it's what I love. And when I was building this business, I never lost track of my pain point, which was I wanted to buy crystals in a safe environment, whether it was who I am as a human being, what my religious background is, what happened to the crystals and the people that were involved from the time they left the earth to the time they got in my house. That's been at the core of Wild Alabaster. And I've been really intentional with that the whole time, where people are like, tell me what crystal I need. And I'm like, I don't know what crystal you need, but you know, and the crystal knows. And when I had a retail space, people would come in and they would just be, everybody's gravitated to the big shiny ones at first, right? Like, you're like, yeah, like this is it. And then kind of like you and Unikite, like Unikite is the most unassuming crystal. It's not aesthetically, it kind of looks like a river rock, you know, it's not the prettiest crystal you own. And they would pick these ones up and they're like, this is weird. I'm feeling this thing. And then I just hand them a card and then they're reading and they're like, but how? I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what your name is. I don't know how. And being able to walk through frequency with people and energy with people has been like the best part of my job. So I always say I'm not the crystal boss of you, and I'm just here to supply a safe container for people's journeys with themselves and having the vehicle of crystals, which people have used since the beginning of time.
Since the beginning of time. Emphasis on that. I don't know how much of my content you watch, but I try to be pretty vocal about the fact that I'm Christian and super woo-woo, and they like very obviously in my mind coexist and overlap and reinforce each other. And I have these, my house is full of crystals and I wear crystal jewelry all the time. And they're like, they think it's witchcraft. And I'm like, crystals are all over the Bible. Old Testament.
All in the New Testament.
Dude.
So alabaster was the stone that was rolled in front of Jesus's tomb and away from Jesus's tomb. Wild alabaster was also the vessel that carried all of the perfumes, which we know were essential oils, that were broken at Jesus's feet or Jesus was poured into or whatever. And to me, in my brain, I spoke about this on another podcast. It was about crystals and the Bible and spirituality. The idea that, and it goes into the patriarchy, and that's a big unpacking in the Christian church, is I think modern day Christianity has removed us so far away from Jesus that we have to have another man to go through. And crystals connect us to the Creator because they were created by the Creator with intention, you know. Where we want to say energy is this witchcraft or this woo-woo. However, we have cars that run off of lithium, which is a mineral and a crystal, and it's prevalent in things like lepidolite or clear quartz or whatever. Clear quartz literally is running the battery off of my computer that I'm talking to you on. So why is that energy more real than this? And why is it outside of the design of what God has intended for us? Why are they here if it's witchcraft? Did God create this beautiful earth with these things that literally invoke spirituality, that bring it out of our chest and we gasp in their beauty, as not a reflection of him or not on purpose? Like, that was just by accident or for witchcraft? Like, talk to me about that. And they don't.
Yeah. No, you are totally speaking my language. What I try to talk to people about when they approach me about this is like, okay, let's take this. And this isn't meant to be a Christianity conversation. I have whole bunch of nodes I want to talk to you about, but I think when we strip away everything worldly, what are we left with as Christians through a Christian lens? Okay. We are left with our bodies, our intuition, which I think is the Holy Spirit, and our minds. We are left with the earth, and we are left with our relationship with God. And of the earth is our crystals, our healing herbs, where we get essential oils from, and where we have all of this potent healing energy. And we have this intuition that is there for a reason, and that we can run everything through as like a sieve to determine and discern what is working and what is not. And so why wouldn't we be using, as you were saying, these tools that were left behind that are of the earth, that are not of man? Why are we not using them as a vehicle or as a tool to strengthen our relationship with God, creator, universe? And it's such a passion point for me because I got into crystals at the same time that I became reestablished my relationship with Christ. So the spirituality and the oils and the mantras and the Palo Santo and the Ram Dass and the mala beads all happened at the same time that I was doing my daily devotionals and that I was going back to church and that I was being baptized, and they were reinforcing each other. So it's always been so obvious to me, but when I talk about it, people get real worked up because they like what God.
Well, and they like the infrastructure of the patriarchy, where there are so many parameters set up, and that the church is the governing body, and it's not like that. That tears apart the framework of it when we actually go, no, our relationship with God is incredible. And we all get to have it. And when you look at the church, pick one that is a business and there's money that floats through it. And so that becomes less relevant when it becomes an independent journey. That's what I think. But I am, you know, like whenever people, I'm just like, listen, there's so much scripture that supports all of this. Like, we can just start with, you've been given all you need and more. Like, it's not here for no reason. It's not here for no reason. And that is God's promise. And, you know, then there's like, when the rocks cry out, you will know that I am Lord. Like, what does that mean? You know? And I hear rocks talking all the time.
Thank you. Thank you for letting going on that tangent with me, because that's one of my passion points, but I don't really feel like I can talk about it on social media as often as I want to, because people call me a heretic and I just don't want to deal with it. But I just have a couple of shout outs for you from your story of creating Wild Alabaster. So I want to point out, and just to confirm, Wild Alabaster started popping off during COVID.
We were born, we were a COVID business, May of 2020.
Isn't it beautiful when we're in alignment with our purpose and we are moving toward what feels flowy and away from what feels forceful? And when you do that, everything just falls in your lap. When everything around us was shutting down and businesses were failing, yours was flourishing. When people were buying crystals, but they were losing their jobs. And against everything that is rational, you were exploding because you were in line with your purpose and your passion. And you were, most importantly, trusting those feelings and those words and the downloads that you were getting and the vision holders that you had in Annie and Brittany and Logan. And you just did the damn thing. And look what happened. And I think it's so obvious to you and me, but I just always want to shout that out when I see that with business owners or anybody that you will know when you are in alignment, when things are just easy. Things can be easy. Not that running a business is easy. Not that running a business is easy, but like, I mean, from it, things were just, it was creating itself. It sounds like
it did. It did. And it was,
you had to chase it. You were having to do the running of like, how do I handle this from the back end and make this a business?
It was a crazy experience. And that is alignment. Like the horse was running and I'm just like trying to hook the cart, but knowing that I'm not pulling on those reins. Like I'm going to keep the horse going and I'm just going to get it attached. And that was the alignment of like, it just went and I was like playing catch up. I learned an incredible amount. Like that was the best business crash course. Wild Out West has been the best business crash course of my life.
And it's thriving from what I can see.
And it also, I think because it was born in COVID in this really uncertain time, the business has changed so much and is just this constant state of fluidity. And I get to move it to fit my life. And, I am a mother. I'm a single mom. I have four children. I have a 16-year-old with special needs. And Wild Alabaster affords me the ability to have the exact life that I want, not the other way around. And it is, that is just a true testament to alignment.
So expansive. Do you know of To Be Magnetic and Lacey Phillips?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Splendid. Okay. So I want to also thank you for sharing this and sharing your profits and your money, because that's so expansive for people. Who you're being an expander right now for people that are trying to start their own businesses, because of one, you started your business when everything practical and intellectual would have told you this is the worst time to do this. And by sharing your profits in those little pop-ups you were doing and in your first drop, that is also so expansive for people. If you can do it, they can do it too. So thank you
100%. For having me. Yeah. I mean, I have no secrets. I also like the fact that we don't talk about money is really weird to me. And I think it's really fucked up. And I think that that's like another kind of gate, like that's like a gatekeeper thing that keeps us kind of stuck. Where for me, I believe that money is energy. It's quantum. It's not real. And we all have access to it. And when we start to talk about it and we start to talk about it clearly, like we all need it, it all circles around. And so like that's one of the things that I'll post on Wild Alabaster on the Wild James Clan or whatever is like thank you for supporting me. Like as and Wild Alabaster, and this is a hard part to talk about, but I think that since we're here and we're being honest, I knew that I had to get out of my marriage. And as a single mom and with special needs, I couldn't leave. And there was a big thing that happened that was, I was like, shit, I have to go. And I couldn't because I didn't have the means to do it. And that was a really scary thing. And Wild Alabaster saved my life in so many ways, where it created this thing for me to focus on and to grow and to pour myself into, and then the ability to leave and to be okay. And that is huge. And it also gives me the ability to bring my children to work if I need to. They were homeschooled up until last year. My 16-year-old still comes to work with me. And that's huge. And so I'm honest about that. Like when you support Wild Alabaster, when you buy crystals through me, you're not just supporting a woman owned business. You're supporting a single mom owned business. And this is one of my biggest streams of income and how I support my family. And we get weird about that. And I don't understand why. We all intellectually know that when we support a small business, we're putting food on that person's table, yet we do get kind of jumped up talking about it, and we don't really want to hear that for whatever reason, and I don't understand why. I'm like, let's talk about it. This is like actually, and what COVID should have shown all of us is that nobody's coming to save us. The government isn't coming to save us. We need each other, and we need to shrink our village and pool our resources. And so if you have X, we all have X amount of dollars, the pie can only be sliced. But if it, Target's not going to save us. It's not going to save our community. We need to pool our resources. So shopping small is really important. And I think that the conversation needs to be had. And so I talk about money. I'm like, this is how the world works. This is capitalism, but it's capitalism in a community-centered way.
So much to that. One, I also don't understand, but I'm a victim to it too, how small business owners or entrepreneurs are nervous to talk to, like, especially me with my business and like my income coming from social media. It's still hard for me to get on my story sometimes, though I try to break through it and step through the fear to say, like, thank you. Like, every time you buy essential oils from me, you're giving me the opportunity to wake up and choose to blow bubbles with my son. Whereas 3 years ago, if we were in the same situation, I would have had to leave him, go to be a teacher where I was incredibly anxious and depressed all day and absolutely depleted, and then come home and not be able to give him anything. And it's weird to talk about money. And I think some of my fear from that comes from not wanting people to think that I'm talking about essential oils or my links for clothes as like, I'm only doing this because I want your money. But I think people already know that too.
Right.
Like we all know that supporting small businesses is helping people on a personal level.
Well, and it's not like you're forcing them to do it, you know?
Right.
They're choosing to do it, and they're not going to buy something that they don't need or want. And as a business owner, a mother, a walking, talking, breathing shit show, I want to be sold to. Like, yes, please. Like, if you have a dress and it looks bomb on you, like, don't keep that shit to yourself. Like, link it. Like, yes, and I will double back and make sure I'm clicking that link three times because I know how the ecosystem works. And, like, thank you. Like, if you're a big titty bitch like I am and that dress, like, works out, like, I want to know about it.
Yes.
I mean, I want to be sold to. Like, tell me why I want it. Like, sell to me. Like, do some of the work for me because I'm tired. I don't want to finish all the things.
What a reframe. We are not doing this because we want money. We are doing this because this is helping us and this is going to make your life easier or more joyful or more in alignment to what you're finding you're curious about. So That's to reframe that a lot of people need to find empowerment in their own businesses.
And it's not a forced thing. It's like yesterday I posted a dress and I was like, people need this. Like, I took the risk to buy it. Here's it on my body. Like, this looks good. Here, take it or don't. You know, I did like peer pressure my mom into buying it, but I was like, mom, like, you need this dress. She's a therapist and she's like gone through this thing where she's like no longer wears black, which is a weird thing because we were talking about it the other day. I'm kind of moving away from wearing black. And black is my entire wardrobe, but I'm feeling like that energy isn't serving me right now. So I'm like, mom, this is like in the vibe, like get it. And also I'll look dope on you. And she's like, Rachel, spray paint on tail. All. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like, it'll look all done on you. And she's going to get it and she's going to love it. And yeah, it's just a reframe of people are going to take what they want and leave the rest. And I'm not there to sell crystals. I have another business. It's called Urban Alchemy, and it's a cold brew coffee company. I am not here to sell people things that they don't want. Like, I'm here for the people who want it. If you are a hot coffee drinker or you love your Starbucks, I probably, if you love Starbucks, I'm going to be like, try what good coffee tastes like, black and mold-free. But like, I'm not here to change your mind on something that you don't want your mind changed about. Like, I'm not trying to pull the crystal haters of the world in. I am just here for the people who are the universe is putting in.
And then the last thing that I wanted to hype you up on is thank you for, in your stores, allowing people to touch their freaking crystals like you were unable to do in that last crystal store. Because, you know, we need to touch our crystals to know if they need to come home with us. I will never forget, I started my crystal journey dabbling in like 2017, 2018. And I had one metaphysical shop nearby. Luckily, it was a very welcoming space. And I did the thing where I walked in to the store and I had no idea what crystals meant. And I picked up crystals that I felt drawn to, and I held them and walked around with them before deciding if I wanted to put them down or take them with me. And I picked up lapis lazuli. Still to this day, my favorite crystal. I was like, this is vibrating in my hand. I couldn't believe it. I was like, there's like electric shocks going through my hand. I need this crystal. I had no idea what it meant. So of course I bought it and I'm like feeling the energy of this crystal, like in my passenger seat of my car. And I pull out my very basic crystal 101 book. And what is it like? It's a super intuition third eye. Am I wrong? Crystal. It's a powerful crystal. I think it even said in my crystal 101 book, like, don't leave this in your bedroom. It's very potent. And so that was the moment that I was like, it worked. I followed my intuition. I felt it. We had a connection. And it all makes sense now.
And can you imagine if you weren't able to touch it? You would all have been empty-handed.
And that's still my favorite crystal. I bring it with me everywhere.
I'm the same way with clothes. Like, I'd have to touch it. Like, I don't know. I had to put my grubby hands on it. I got to feel it, you know? And with crystals, it's like, you got to feel it in your hands and you got to feel its frequency moving through your body.
Yes.
You know, so I'm like, touch everything but my curly hair. Like, do not put your hand in my hair. That's my boundary.
I think that's fair. So for anyone listening, because we have a wide range of woo-woos that are going to be listening to this podcast, for our, what I call them, noob woos, can you give us the basics of crystals? How do they work? Are they just rocks? What is the frequency? Tell me their magic.
Okay, so let's start with the basics, which is science. Crystals have the most balanced and symmetrical atom structure in nature, which is why they can conduct frequency. So that's like the basic of it. In their atom structure, there's a symmetry that is so perfect that it can conduct frequency. So lithium, quartz, whatever, that's just what separates a rock and a crystal. That's kind of like the science behind it. They're also pretty, and I create space for they're pretty and I want them in my house. You can say this doesn't do shit. I just like the way it looks. Great. It's serving its purpose. It's doing whatever. Another misconception is that you have to do something to that. You don't have to do anything. Crystals exist and they do. We are really low on the frequency spectrum of the world. We cannot pull, and that's the whole like touching thing. We cannot change the energy of a crystal because it is perfect in its symmetry. We are not. We are mortals. They change us. So their frequency moves through and connects us to what they have going on. Now, frequency and energy works in lots of different ways. And that's why when we talk about, like if you get one of my cards, each frequency, each energy. So let's just think about emotional energy. You have the emotional energy of generosity, which feel generous right in your heart. Like you can feel it right now. Like you can feel what generosity feels like in your body. And then you can switch the energy or the frequency and feel what greed feels like in your body. Like we can feel that. Just thinking generous and thinking greed. And crystals have the same thing. So you have a quartz, which is clear. It has a high frequency. It's just shooting out light. And then you've got agates, which are very grounding and very connecting. They have this really soothing bottom frequency, and those are different. And we pull from them at different times, depending on what we need, because they are perfect in their symmetry. They don't cancel each other out. They just vibe together and create a harmonious frequency. And we can pull, like, I always have clear quartz on me, and I always have like jaspers and agates, which are, more bottom heavy and more earthy, because I am a Taurus and I have a lot of that earth energy and I'm really grounded and mellow. Like I love quartz and like the uplifting things. And like, that's why quartz is always around my neck. It's a really good connecting frequency also, an amplification frequency. So that's kind of crystal 101. And again, I create room for whatever hyped up woo-woo stuff you want to believe. If you need to cast a spell, if you need to do whatever it is that you want to do, like you can get as weird as you want, or you can just be like, this is pretty and I love pretty shit. And I create room for all of that because I believe it to be true. I believe whatever, the brain is really powerful. I know the science behind crystals. You have something like selenite, which is abundant in the earth, and it has just loads and loads of negative ions in it. And it takes negative energy, be electromagnetic or emotional, and turns it into negative ions. And so we know what negative ions do when we go to the mountains or the ocean and we feel that exhale and we feel our nervous system regulate and calm down. Like when the rain starts to move in, you can feel the negative ions just settling things in you. Or when you've got a storm coming in and it's a hurricane, you feel the fear because it's like this upbringing of negative ions in just massive amounts of force. Selenite is a conductor of negative ions. So, and I hate also selenite is really pretty. So we have mushroom selenite lamps on the website or whatever, you know, there's a lot of room and I just am non-dogmatic about it. And that has kind of isolated me in the crystal realm of millennials who are selling crystals because they want some dogma. And I'm just like, not here for the dogma. I'm just allowing everybody to have their own experience without being the dictator of that. Or saying that the crystal, do this, do that. You can't have this crystal and that crystal in close proximity. Like, why the hell can you not? Like,
oh, is that what they're doing these days?
Lots of. We're just like, not the why. I'm like, why do you want to be in charge of people? I don't know.
That's a lot of responsibility. So I appreciate that you're doing that because you're essentially guiding people to listen to their intuition and grow that muscle through not telling them and through having them feel it out. What feels right? What feels in alignment with you in this crystal? But with you saying that, I do have a question. Mm-hmm. What are your views on crystal cleansing, charging, and programming?
That's a great question. And that's going to make me ruffle some feathers or whatever. So, yes, I believe that it is true. I spend a lot of time cleansing, clearing, and charging the crystals, trying to get it to a place where they feel neutralized. And that's mostly me casting intention into them, of to the homes that they're going to be, because intention is real. Me taking frequency and energy and transmitting it through this thing, these things that are conductors of frequency. We can go as broad or as narrow as we want with that. So we can go into the frequency realm, or I can say, you know what, like, what if if you had like a really traumatic or negative experience with somebody, and I was like, oh, Kyle, who did XYZ to you, he wants you to have this shirt. We'd be like, I don't want to touch that shirt. Like, I don't want anything that is associated with that person because it's carrying energy. Or sometimes, you know, like, you, if you're like thrifting or whatever, you see something and you're like, this has a weird vibe to it. Energy is transmittable. It moves. And so with crystals, it can be the same way. And I want everything to be neutralized. I want it to be loving. I want it to facilitate whatever it is that you're working on. And so I believe in it 100%. I also think that we can cast like too much like meaning onto it, or again, make it really dogmatic. And then as far as like charging them in the full moon, crystals don't really need us to do that because they have been charged since the beginning of time in the full moon, and like our like time in our house is going to be like uplift in their lifespan, and they're going to go on existing long after we're gone. And I think that there is beautiful ritual to that. If that's the thing that you need, then do it. And there are times in my life where I need that. Like, I need that ceremony. I need that connection that feels sacred, that's honoring something, whether it's like a cycle or whatever. Or I need to like leave something behind. And the crystal is that like vehicle, that's a tool to help me do it. If you don't do it or whatever, are your crystals going to rot and die and become powerless? No, they're not. They're 100% fine. So there's a lot to that. And people want something more streamlined and concrete. And I don't have it because I don't believe, like, that's not my truth. My truth is not that there is one right way to do crystals. I believe that energy is real. I am a feeler. I am an energy worker. That is a space that I work in. And we don't have to put, we can place as much or as little meaning on something as we want it, as we want to, you know?
Mm-hmm. So liberating.
Is that how that we, like, so either that can be liberating to some people, or they can just be like, fuck, I wanted you to tell me something concrete and like, okay, you know?
That's fair. Okay, so it's liberating to me because there can be times when in the past I have been like, oh shit, I forgot to charge my crystals under the full moon. Now my crystals are going to be dull and they're not going to work with me the same. And it's liberating to know, like, our crystals are intelligent and it doesn't have to be this very strict, like, if you mess up, it's okay. And I do completely agree, and I'm so glad that you gave space for the fact that the moon rituals serve us more than they do the crystals. And I love charging my crystals under the full moon because it gives me the opportunity to know and constantly pay attention to the cycle of the moon, which also in turn allows me to be in tune with the cycle of my body. Right. And I like collecting all of my crystals around the house and seeing them all again, because I don't spend every day with them, and then separating them, like which ones can be outside and which ones can't be outside, and touching them all in that way, leaving them outside and then bringing them back in. It is beautiful, and it is a way for me to like check in and say hi with them again. So it's liberating to me. And I hope that in this little conversation back and forth, other people can find that to be liberating as well. And going back to our earlier conversation, can find liberation. Okay, I'm just getting a download. Like, I think that people who might be feeling frustrated in this conversation for not having an XYZ, this is what you do, might also be people who are scared to listen to themselves. There's a block there. There's a fear around trusting themselves and their intuition when it comes to something as simple as crystals. And that could be pointing to something bigger. Like if you're feeling frustrated for not having a toolkit and a step-by-step instruction for how to care for your crystals, and you're feeling anxious in your belly and bubbling up because we're telling you to listen to what the crystal is communicating with you, then maybe in other areas of your life, you're needing to release control and go a little bit more introspective. And then that opens the door to like, okay, if you don't want to be introspective and like listen to your intuition, like what kinds of emotions are you avoiding by not being introspective? I just blacked out. So hopefully that made sense.
No, that's like so right on. That's my thing, is look for the lesson. What is the lesson? If this is really triggering to you, why is it triggering to you? What is the work that needs to be done? What's the reflection in the mirror saying? And I understand like the type A, but typically when people are wanting that, it is because there's a lack of trust in themselves. And for me, when people are dogmatic and something, I'm like, I'm going to do it my own way. And I feel really confident in that. And I am really connected to my instinct. It's all I have. Like, it's my strongest tool. I am like really guttural. And it doesn't, you know, like with starting Wild Alabaster, intellectually, when you look at when I started this business, I was like, wait, like, no, it wasn't going to work out. It was not. And there was every single fiber of my being said, go for it. And so the dogma of being rigid in this experience is never going to be something that I'm like putting out into the world. You know, like I'm going to connect you back to you and try to encourage you to trust yourself. And I think that the crystals also do that, because people will pick up crystals or like, I have no idea why I wanted it. And then they read about it and they're like, shit. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, how did that happen? I'm like, I don't know. And then people are like, I'm like, it's magic. You know, it's magic. And magic is not, for me, it's not like Harry Potter and like sorcery. It's just ordinary feelings and connection's the most magical thing to me. And the crystals do that. They provide that magic.
Beautiful. I think we do need to normalize using magic or talking
like
about
literally it. My like goal in life is to normalize magic and just stop like that it I'm like in the Bible about. Like I have a tattooed on my hand. People are like think that they are so strongly adverse to the word magic and lump it in with like sorcery and all kinds of weird shit that I don't even know. Like I don't even know. Like I'm just pretty normal. You know, I don't know what the dogma is.
I went on a rant. I went on like a six six post rant about Christianity and woo woo and people getting worked up about like the words manifestation and ritual and magic. And I'm like, magic, like, I think the fact that we create life in our wombs is magic. We together, that is magic. Like, how else are you
wildly magical? Or that like our breasts can produce milk that has antibodies for our babies, like, and gives them everything, just like, or that like that's magical, or that like we can in 1 second we can go from like amniotic fluid fish things to like land mammals, like with the push of a vagina. Like, that's like, that feels radically magical, that like in seconds you can go from like a Loch Ness monster sea creature in a body to us. Like, that's
I agree. I do need to hit on the ethical sourcing of crystals, because I know that's very important to you. And a lot of times people ask me for crystal recommendations because they can never be sure if the crystals in their local metaphysical store were sourced ethically. And I always recommend three different crystal shops. Yours is one of them. So can you tell me about the importance of ethical sourcing of crystals and how you make sure that they are?
This is really tricky, and it sucks that it's really tricky, because I'm going to assume and give the benefit of the doubt that the people who are buying crystals and selling them in their crystal shops believe what they've been told. And there's gray area in it, because they don't know. And I am really fortunate. I have close people in my community who work directly with mine, where I have seen video calls, and then I, because of essential oils, I know a lot of the questions to ask, the hard ones. And I buy from those people where I've seen FaceTimes of the minds. I have seen, like, the certifications for ethical crystals is incredibly greenwashed. This is really hard. And so when I am going to Tucson, I know how to source, and it's really important to me. That is something that's really important to me, is I can't bring into my incredibly privileged white household something that somebody else suffered or died to bring me. And I am like that with clothes. I am like that with food. I try to do that and have my eyes and my heart open to that in every single aspect. So this is a really hard thing. There's no governing body. There is no magic anything that says this is what is ethical and this is what you have to trust the person that you're buying crystals from. And that is like the biggest thing that I say, is like, you have to trust that person. And if you are connected, you can probably feel it. Like, there is things where I'm like, yeah, you said all the things that you want, but I'm still not I'm feeling yucky about this. And my boyfriend will call, like, he's been to Tucson with me twice, and he's like, but why? Like, why? I'm like, there's a veil, and I'm not crossing that veil. Like, this doesn't feel good to me. And he's like, I kind of feel bad too, or whatever. So it comes back to trust. Knowing your crystal dealer, and that's why I call myself a crystal dealer, is because that's an important relationship for some people, or some people don't care. But know your crystal dealer, trust your crystal dealer, ask them hard questions. If they can't give you good answers, it's either that they don't know or they're trying to conceal something. Probably they don't know.
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
Sorry. No, that's okay. What can you give us, like, for the average person walking into a crystal shop, like, what are some easy questions that they can ask to at least try to suss out some of it?
Where it came from, asking them what the origin of the crystal is, if they don't know. And a lot of crystals are being, right now in stores, are being bought from China. And I have crystals that are bought from China too. A lot of shaped crystals are coming from China, and I know those facilities and what those practices are. They have some ocean jasper of mine. I have raw material that I bought directly from Madagascar. I literally know the man personally who owns the rights to all of ocean jasper. And I know that they came from him. And I know those practices. I have been in his house and I trust him so much. He's actually my biggest Madagascan supplier. And I have raw material in a factory in China that provides safe practices. It's a small family owned and it's female owned manufacturer in China. And not a lot of my material comes from there, but I get FaceTimes at 10 o'clock at night and I see the factory. You know, there's this pyrite supplier that I work with and it's in Peru. And my travels throughout the world, and especially Central and South America and Africa, we have these tight practices and Americans are like, oh, children shouldn't work. Well, in the rest of the world, children have to work. And that is just, yeah, it sucks. And I'm here to protect childhood, but children have to work. And so this line that we work with in Peru offers children to either go to school for a small amount of money from their parents and their parents can work extra time for that, or they pay the children to work. So while you're like, why would I get pyrite that's been dug up by a five-year-old? Well, it's either that or the five-year-old is selling bottles of water and toothbrushes on the side of the road. And I have seen that with my own eyes. Children in Central and South America, literally small ones, like preschool age, selling things where anybody can grab them and do whatever they want to them. So yeah, if a child has to work with its parents and is being paid and not out on the side of the road selling bottles of water to passersby, then that to me feels like an ethical practice, because that family, those children have to work to eat. And if working alongside their mom and their dad is going to how it is, then that's the thing that I'm going to support, because not having your children have to work is an incredibly privileged thing. And while we're removed from that in America, the rest of the world faces that pretty regularly. So knowing things like that, and that's just me doing a big dig and it being important to me. And I'm so far removed from the other side of it that I'm like, you know, I don't have all of the answers of like, what are the questions that you would ask? Because the shop owner who is buying them, probably not directly from the source, which is what I'm doing because I move so much, is they probably don't know. There's lots of people in between. And I just like to think that everybody's doing the best they can with the information that they have.
But we know that we can always get ethically sourced crystals from wild alabaster.
Yes. I would rather not sell crystals and go work at Chick-fil-A. Like, honestly. Yeah. Like, that. I'm just not going to compromise. It just is not in my ethos. And yeah, my crystals are expensive, but like, that's what you get when you're not paying for slave labor. I don't know, you know?
I mean, yeah, truly. But a lot of people don't know that. That's like what I feel when I talk to, like, some people just don't know. That's what I talk about when people tell me that the oils are too expensive. Like, totally fine. We love a fiscally responsible bitch, but these are all of the reasons why it's much pricier. Whereas when you're buying an oil from Whole Foods, you don't know what diluents, additives, fragrances, you don't know the distillation process, you don't know how they're treating the land where the plants are grown, if they're even grown in a regenerative farm or in their natural habitat. Like, there's so much that goes into the pricing of an item that people wouldn't know otherwise. I have five fun questions for you. Moldavite, give us the deets.
Moldavite is a carbon glass. It is not a crystal.
So does it have all of the powers everyone says?
Well, it's pretty cool. I mean, it came from space and it's a carbon rock. And when it was catapulting through outer space and hit the place in Siberia or wherever it's from and changed colors and whatever, like, that's pretty dope. But it's a meteorite and carbon glass and not a crystal. So it doesn't conduct frequency. A Gold Light is not sold at Wild Alabaster.
Oh, thank you for that. Tell me about your journey with homeschooling. Why did you want to homeschool?
I was homeschooled. And I
loved homeschooled. My husband was homeschooled.
Oh, yeah. Weird enough, I was homeschooled until the 11th grade. I knew that I wanted to homeschool my children. I knew that I wanted to brainwash them and indoctrinate them. And I wanted to spend all of my time with them. And I wanted to place importance on the things that I felt were important and isolate my children and keep them in a small bubble and fill up their emotional toolbox so they could go into the world and be the most undiluted, connected versions of themselves. And my children, my two youngest, who are 13 and 15, went to school for the first time last year, and they killed it. They were, I mean, I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of who they are and how quickly they adapted and they learned and how connected to themselves and their truth they stayed. And they just killed it. They killed it.
Encouraging. That's our plan too.
Great.
What's your favorite part about South Carolina?
The part of South Carolina that I live in, which is Charleston. I pretend that the rest of the state does not exist. Okay. You know, but because I love the ocean and I love the culture of our really old, beautiful town, which is Charleston. I also love we have super, super rad homeschooling laws. And we have really good home birth laws. And so that was one of the reasons why my mom moved us from here, from the Caribbean to here, was that she could practice midwifery legally and she could homeschool us or unschool us however she felt fit, and the government wasn't going to step in. We also have really good medical freedom still currently.
Wow, I didn't know that about that. That's fantastic. Are you regularly bumping into the cast of Southern Charm?
Yes.
How do you use crystals in your daily practice?
I have crystals on me at all times, always and forever. They're in every room of my house. They are sometimes in my bra, in my car. And I am pretty bad about daily practices. Other than drinking coffee every morning, that's my best, most consistent daily practice is pouring a cup of coffee. But I couldn't imagine, like, I'm not a good meditator. I don't hold things in my hands, but when I do, and I'm, when I was in a lot of trauma and going through divorce and was really, like, that was, I mean, I held crystals more during that time. I put them in my bath, connected to them. I just need an anchoring. So I have crystals at all times all around me. I move them around the house, pull them in for different things, but I don't have a consistent ritual.
Okay. They're tools that you pull on when you need them.
Exactly.
And then I went to dive into home birth. But tell me about your, were all four home births of your children?
Yes. So all four of them were home births. My oldest is not mine biologically, but he was born at home. And so all of my children were, all of the ones that I, all four of them were born at home, but I gave birth three times at home.
Tell me about your favorite home birth experience and why.
I am a really good baby haver. All of my births were really easy. I was also 20, 21, and 23 when I was having babies. So it's like rock and roll. Like, my body was just like here to have babies. I loved them all. They were all really, really amazing. I love birth. And I think that I'm also non-dogmatic about birth. My mom is a home birth midwife, and I've been exposed to it. And I'm just here for like anybody to have the birth experience that is the birth experience that they want, or that is the safest for the mother and the baby. And for me, as a low-risk mother, a really young low-risk mother who was not afraid of birth, because I have been to hundreds of births in my life, it was just a primal thing for me to do. But I loved them all. They were all so special. And I love that my sister-in-law is having home births for us to go to, and that my kids get to be a part of that. And my daughter gets to go hold toddlers while my mom and my sister and I, you know, I'm the videographer and the picture taker. And my mom and my sister are like, you know, the professional people.
Did you hallucinate?
Yeah, I mean,
okay, thank you. Every time, I didn't get to have a home birth, but I labored at home for 3 days. And every time I talk to somebody about labor and when they're laboring unmedicated, I'm like, did you hallucinate? And they're like,
yeah, that's like and that's the thing. Like, I believe in plant medicine, and I have taken lots of plant medicine journeys in psychedelics. And childbirth was the most wild psychedelic I have ever done in my entire life. You leave your body completely. You go outside of your body. When you're pushing a baby out, you're certain that it's going to kill you, that there's no way to survive that level of pain. And then your baby comes out, and it's euphoria and bliss, and it's crazy how quickly that whole thing can happen. But yes, like, I can still, in my conscious, sober mind right now, see myself having a baby outside of my body. Like I can reflect back on all three of my births and see it from above and from within. Like, that's wild. There's some hardcore hallucinating, for sure.
I fucking love that. Thank you. We're not pregnant right now, but hoping for an each back with my next baby. So hopefully that will be my redemptive home birth. I especially want to thank you for the intentionality that you put into the energy of your space and the sourcing of everything. I mean, every part of your business is intentional to create a safe space and ensure that everyone involved, from the crystal coming out of the earth to the crystal being in your hands, is an empowering experience for all involved. And I think that type of intentionality and purposefulness is lacking in a lot of the places that we choose to support financially. And I think I just want to commend you for sticking to your heart and your values as you continue to grow this business, because I know that it can continue to get harder and harder as you grow, but you maintain that. And I think that's beautiful, and I think that's unique.
Thank you so much for saying that and for being a consumer, because without you, people like you wouldn't exist. And I really appreciate the support of, like, what I feel like is my work. And thank you for the space and allowing me to share sort of my journey. I'm so grateful. Thank you for being brave and willing to, like, go first and have these conversations. It's really important. Not a lot of people are brave enough to do it. So thank you for being brave.
I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Susie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the Woo Woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.